Toastmasters, would-be Toastmasters listeners and friends. You're very welcome to this magazine version of the Talk Show for Talkers here on irishtalkers.com. As always, you can get in touch with us, and we do wish you would, by sending us an email to info@irishtalkers.com. You can also find us on the web as Irish Talkers, and sometimes you can find us on Facebook as The Talk Show for Talkers. So what have we got in store for you today? Well, we're going to do it slightly differently today. We will have a word of the week, and we might start off with that, but we're actually just going to devote the whole of the show to ideas about how we can make for better meetings. But let's kick off with the word of the week, and for this I'm joined, as always, by the felicitous and fanciful Mr. Finnegan. James, say hello.
Hello, Moira. Thank you again for a lovely introduction, which I shall do my best to live up to.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. So, being the mellifluous Moira, does that work? I know that was a term that Ted used to use. Anyway, what is your word of the week today? Oh, actually, before we go into that, on the day we are recording this show, which was probably a couple of weeks ago, we got note of the death of one of our listeners, Philip Gomes from Curaçao, a member of Genesis Online. Philip was a lovely man, a great Toastmaster, and he will be sorely missed. Right, James, your word of the week.
Well, thank you, Moira. I've decided to go a little bit flowery today. And the word for the week is escapade, an act or an incident involving excitement, daring, or adventure. He told of their escapade with a borrowed truck. It seems to be an old-fashioned word because it always reminds me of those Saturday morning serials that used to be on in the cinema. How will they escape? They're hanging on by their fingernails off the side of a cliff. What an escapade. And you come back the next week, and somehow, in one leap, he had escaped. It comes from the Spanish, escapar, which means, strangely enough, to escape. And it's then produced into Provençal and French, escapade, which means, strangely enough, an escape. Mid-17th century is where it was first used, but it's also based on the medieval Latin, ex meaning out of, and capa, a cloak. So, wherever you can, fellow Toastmasters, make your life an escapade. Make your speeches an escapade, and try and fit that word into your general talk. If nothing else, you'll get a strange look.
Interesting. I'm as always, James, I'm looking up my dictionary, and it agrees with you, but with slight differences. It says the Spanish is escapada, then it says also from French, Old Italian, scappata, from Vulgar Latin, excapare, unattested, to escape. Not sure what unattested means in that context, but yep, French and Spanish of mid-17th century. Okay.
I never descend to vulgar Latin, Moira. I stick with the true blue Latin.
Oh, I like vulgar Latin. Having been forced to study Latin at school? Yes. Best forgotten. Okay. So, let's move on. Now, I've entitled this for my notes, Better Meeting Ideas. I should explain that James and I independently prepare our pieces for this show, and I put into WhatsApp, and he usually puts into WhatsApp what he's going to say, and I'm going to put into WhatsApp what I'm going to talk about. And today we both put in the same thing. So rather than do two separate things, we thought we'd combine. Now, we're also joined by Mr. David Clinton, who was our interview guest last week, and he has stayed on to put in his two penuas, if, of course, that's worth listening to, and we will make that decision as we go on. Okay, so what's a conventional meeting? Right. The Sergeant-at-Arms opens the meeting, hands over to the President, who gives his or her words of wisdom, followed by the Toastmaster, who introduces the prepared speeches, and then we go on to the table topics, and then the reports, and then the evaluations, and finally the general evaluation, and a closing by the President. That's a pretty conventional meeting. Okay, the order might be changed around a little bit, but doesn't it get a bit boring? Wouldn't it be nice to spice it up with a few little extras? So let's look at some of the extras. Now, I've got a list here of about four or five things, and I'm sure that James is going to come in with another five or six, and David, no doubt, will pick holes in all of them. So let's see. My first item is a warm-up. What's a warm-up? Well, there's one very good thing, very useful thing about a warm-up is it gives everybody, including guests, the opportunity to speak, even if it's only one word, and that, especially for guests, can be a great way of incorporating them into the meeting. There are various different ways of doing this. You can ask one person to give a little three-minute speech, but I'd rather have everybody contributing. One thing I like is a story round. And you could do this with one word or two words or three words. Three words works quite well. So you start off with one person who says, let's say, once upon a, and then it goes to the next person, who of course has to follow on with time, there was, goes on to the next person, etc., 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 and you build a story and you try to make sense of the story. It's much harder if you do it one word at a time, believe me. You can get some very strange stories developing. At least with three words, you tend to get some sort of cohesion or coherence. Another way of doing it is to give, ask each person in the meeting to give, let's say, depending on how many people there are, a 5, 10, or 15 second introduction to themselves. Another way of doing this is to say, well, in one word, tell me how you're feeling. Or in one word, tell me what you're looking forward to. Or in one word, tell me what the weather did to you today. You can be creative and you can think of different things that you can ask. James, do you have any ideas for warm-ups? Or maybe that should be warms-up.
It's funny you say that, Moira, because if there's one common denominator, and coming from a kind of a choral singing performing background, the one thing speakers never seem to do at Toastmasters is actually a warm-up. Now, there's that famous scene in Four Weddings and a Funeral where Hugh Grant goes behind the scene in the chapel and uses, shall we say, a colourful metaphor, just as the vicar walks in. And then he turns around and says very quickly, oh, that was just my warm-up. Now, I'm not suggesting that you use colourful metaphors as a warm-up, but there are something to get the voice warmed up, to get the lips moving, to get the tongue going. Even if it's round the rugged rock the ragged rascal ran, that at least gets you warmed up. And I think the virtue of your idea of the story is that it starts the meeting, as you say, with everyone contributing, but it starts the meeting with a laugh.
Yes.
And we learn best in our moments of enjoyment.
Absolutely.
As a wise man once said.
Yes. Yes, indeed. David, do you have any ideas?
Well, I have to say I was delighted that James was able to give some sauce for the goose there, but I have another one for you. What about a little bit of laughter? We've had occasion to have a laughter yoga session prior to commencing even the most arduous of meetings or workshops. You know those training sessions that we do for 3 or 4 hours? What better way to encourage a crowd to come in early than a yoga session, a yoga laughter, laughter yoga. I'm saying it up and down, sideways, backwards, you name it. Laughter yoga is the way to go to energize your members and your participants at your meeting.
Very good. I've only participated once in laughter yoga and I found it extraordinary. It's an amazing thing. It does work. It reminds me of something that I've always advocated, and that is if you're ever feeling down, just smile, because it's almost impossible to feel bad about yourself if you're smiling. I don't know if this is something psychological. I'm sure that the psychiatrist or psychologist would have an easy explanation for it. But I think it does something to the brain and the amygdala and all that psychobabble. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to other ideas. Now, I've been to many clubs around the world, some of whom have poetry readings as part of their meeting. This is more common than you might expect. But of course, it does require to have members who are interested in poetry, and somebody like Paul Imani, who is actually a poet and would be absolutely delighted to read some of his own poetry. But what often happens is that the designated poetry reader for the day chooses a poem, a short poem, and reads that poem out to the meeting. Another way of doing it is to have a joke master. Now, I haven't seen this in as many clubs, but the idea is that the nominated person tells a joke, and hopefully people laugh. I've seen it done, and I've seen it not so successful. So it's something you need to have somebody who really is good at telling jokes to be able to carry that off. Okay, let's look at table topics, because I think this is where you can really make a difference, or you can make the content of your meeting outstanding. Now, I've been to a couple. I'm going to play you something now, which is an example of a table topic. Now, this was in an online club where the theme of the meeting was rhetorical devices. Okay? And the table topics master gave out the topic, and you had to make use of the rhetorical device, which in this case was anadiplosis. Okay, let's now try and play this clip.
There is only one rule for this contest, is that to stick to the theme of the day, rhetorical devices, the topic that I'm going to give, the last word of the topic is where you will begin your speech. So the first topic is, you are as straight as an arrow. I repeat, you are as straight as an arrow.
Arrows can be made of steel. Steel is a really hard substance. But the substance of my talk is going to be about straight as an arrow, straight as a die, Die Hard. Gosh, there was a film. Films are very, or can be very evocative. Evocative films are ones which bring out the emotion. Emotion is a good thing, because emotion can make one feel either better or worse, but never nothing. Nothing is terrible. Nothing can beat shooting an arrow into the heart of the topic. The topic was an interesting one.
Totally brilliant, totally brilliant.
So there you had an example. I apologize for using my own table topic speech, but it was the one that came to hand. I didn't have anybody else's. And I apologise for breaking up. It was impossible to keep going because I just find it so funny. James, any thoughts on that type of table topic?
Well, I think table topics are a wonderful way to be creative and inventive. And I do love the idea of bringing in a bag full of miscellaneous objects, which the participant sticks their hand into the bag and pulls one out and has to speak on that object. And you can be very inventive and very colourful and very inclusive, even if it's only but for the there but the grace of God go I. You know, I'm glad I didn't get the oven mitten or the bowling ball. But yeah. I think table topics is a wonderful opportunity to be really imaginative, not saying anything against the normal format, but it does just, dare I say it, spice it up a bit, challenge us just that little bit further. And I think people enjoy the challenge.
I've had the goodie bag idea a number of occasions, and it does work very well. It does stretch your creativity a lot. I enjoy it. I enjoy all types of table topics. So, David, do you have anything like that that you've come across?
In the table topic space, certainly I've seen the goodie bag or the random object idea used, which I think is an excellent idea. Sometimes, unfortunately, a speaker can be completely thrown, and then you have an embarrassing moment, perhaps for them, and the audience feels unnerved for the speaker. In those instances, it's best to probably put the object aside and dip again. As some people might say, double dip.
Yes.
Certainly, it is a method. One of the things I've seen in relation to events at Toastmasters of interest is when you do change-ups like a storytelling night, and sometimes that might be focused around a particular time of year, like Halloween. And we had a seriously spooky Halloween session one night, so much so that people were coming out of the woodwork, literally, with stories and tales of old. And I was inspired to do the story of Loftus House, which is a very, very famous story down near Hookhead, and a really scary, spine-chilling story. And I remember Toastmaster in Kildare doing this one time. We hung on every word. This particular Toastmaster suffered from a stutter, but for that particular story, she didn't make one blip. She was smooth all the way through. And at the very end, there's a moment when the devil gets involved in the story, and she made everybody jump out of their seats. we all just were in flight with the scare of it. That is a tremendous event to encounter at a Toastmasters meeting, for sure.
Okay, another idea which I've seen used very successfully is called Story Dice. The particular version of this I have on my phone, it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 dice, and you can choose how many you're actually going to use. I would normally use maybe 2 or 3. And the idea is that you throw the dice, and whatever comes up, you give to the table topic respondent to say, create a speech around the objects on the face of those two dice. For example, what I'm looking at the moment is a ace of spades and a megaphone. So try and put together a 2-minute speech about the ace of spades and a megaphone. And again, that can challenge the creativity to come up with, A, how the heck can you connect those two, but also how can you make it into a fun story? So that's another useful device. Now, There is always the occasion when Table Topics Master, for whatever reason, doesn't come to the meeting. And you are told, Moira, can you do Table Topics for us? And I always say, absolutely, no problem at all. Because, to quote from Craig Valentine, don't be ready, stay ready. I have two Table Topic packs of cards here. Well, they're both called Table Talk. The first one is 150 conversation starter questions from a company called, it's www.talkingtables.co.uk. It's not American, it's UK. And you have a large number of cards, and there's a topic on both sides of the cards. So that's very useful for picking up random topics. And the second one I have, which is made in China, of course, fun family topics for kids. Well, we're all big kids, aren't we? It's called Table Talk again, as US Games Systems Inc. usgamesystemsinc.com. So there's a couple of ideas of where you can get table topics at the drop of a hat, or in this case, at the drop of a card. So let's just out of curiosity look at a random card picked. In fact, James, tell me when to stop.
Now.
Right. This is a mauve card. The first mass-produced car was an Oldsmobile, named for creator Ransom Eli Olds. When Hitler ordered Ferdinand Porsche to make a people's car in 1936, the result was the bug-like Beetle. Today, car makers choose names that convey a certain mood or quality, like Voyager, Cherokee, and more Grand Marquis. What name would you give a new car? Do you know any cars with nicknames? So there's the subject. Now, they're quite long, and I tend to look at the question at the end and maybe condense it a bit, because they are a little bit long for Table Topics. But that's an idea from the pack of cards, as opposed to the box of cards.
Funny you say that, Moira, because we were talking Latin earlier.
Yes.
And of course, I was studying Latin back in the 70s when Cortina was a car that was top of the range and smooth and cool.
Yes.
Until such time as you discovered when you were studying Latin that Cortina actually meant kettle.
I never knew that. I went on my first honeymoon in a Ford Cortina in 1966. Gosh. Or was it? Yeah, 1966. Long time ago. Oh, well.
Your honeymoons are a whole different style of Table Topic, Moira.
They are. They are. They have been the subject of one or two speeches. Well, they do say that when you're looking for things to talk about, find the embarrassing things, that the things that really went wrong that you didn't like, because then people, you create empathy, because people say, oh, poor girl, oh, it's terrible. Anyway, that's nothing to do with Table Topics. So how are we doing? We're doing pretty well for time. David, is there anything you would like to add to this list of Table Topic ideas?
Well, I just want to refer back to picking a name for your car. I thought that was an interesting one, all right. And I recently purchased a new car. And jokingly, I referred to it as my baby. And so now I'm calling the car baby. But my wife keeps reminding me I had better mind the baby. So I've been hoovering and washing ever since I acquired the car in question. So sometimes the name can actually relate to what you're obliged to do when you're driving the car or maintaining the car. Well, which is very, very interesting.
When you're driving the car, you're babysitting.
Exactly. Yes. You're minding the baby.
Yeah. James, any final words?
No, all I can say is that having just come home from minding two-year-olds, all I can say is there's a reason why my car has so many dents in it.
Very good. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We certainly enjoyed making it. And we'll see you again next week when we will have a very, very special interview guest. I'm not going to tell you who. You'll have to tune in next week to find out. So from David Clinton, from James Finnegan, and from myself, Moira O'Brien, thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.